I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
About you got to put it in perspective.
I'm going to count to three. There will not be a four.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
How good is Lonzo Ball gonna be for the LA Lakers?
Hey, I'm gonna tell you what. Lonzo Ball is gonna take the Lakers to the playoffs his first year. Come see me when he does. I have another hat on to say I told you something.
Why don't you just shut the f*** up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh. Smell it.
And now.
You know, I don't mind telling you, if I was 100 years younger. Never mind.
Our feature presentation.
So I'm driving in this morning and I hear a story that says the highway patrol is tired of people using the carpool lane and they're going to start cracking down.
Kevin.
And I was like, how about a heads up a week ago?
I watched that CBS News report this morning, and yeah, people are getting steamed about it. People are saying, look, you got to do something. It's not fair.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah.
Maybe the ticket needs to be more.
The ticket is plenty.
Yeah.
Turns out.
Well, it's not a deterrent enough. They said the estimate was, and you heard this report this morning, Kevin, they said the estimate was 1 in 5 cars in the carpool lane during morning drive are solo drivers, and 1 in 4 in the afternoon, or maybe it was the other way around, I don't remember, but that's a significant percentage.
Right? Wow. I wouldn't think it was that high.
Well, there's one fewer.
Yeah.
And the highway patrol just does not have enough you know, officers, enough cars to catch them all.
Yeah. So, I've had highway patrol on motorcycle pull up next to me and go, nice. Thumbs up. You know, like, they don't really have time to do anything about it, but they give me a hard time about it. And I would go, hey, okay.
And let me ask you this. Let me ask you this super dumb question. When you're in the carpool lane, the far, far left lane, do they make you pull over through all the lanes of traffic to the right-hand side to write your ticket?
It depends on where you are.
That seems like a big, giant hassle.
It is. I mean, I wish they wouldn't put that much work into it.
Well, no. What I'm saying is I wonder if that has something to do with why an officer wouldn't want the hassle. Is because
you've got
to navigate through all that traffic and whatnot. It's not like you can just pull over to the side, you know, easily.
So. Right.
Well, they say they're cracking down on them. Yeah. And writing more tickets than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
But not enough, according to most people.
How dare you. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 28th of June.
It's Wednesday?
Yeah, I heard a guy say Wednesday.
I thought it was Wednesday.
Somebody
no?
said Wednesday one time?
Yeah.
That guy's an idiot.
Let me hear the tape.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It is Wednesday, the 7th of June.
Really?
Strange word to mess up on.
Yeah.
Because I never use the word Wednesday, so. Oh, I say it all the time.
Yeah.
That's right. I say it every day.
You say Wednesday every day?
I mean, you know, I say it a lot.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Speaking of moments with Kevin.
There's another one?
It's not you. Oh,
it's not me.
You missed it.
All right.
You have been out for a couple of days, and while you were gone...
A lot has changed.
A lot has changed.
Yeah.
First of all, fire must cleanse us. But second of all, not only did I have a moment with, I did something that I don't think I have ever done in my entire radio career.
Sweet.
And that is, and you're not going to believe this, that is accidentally say the F word on the radio.
What?
Yes.
Yep.
Accidentally?
Yes. Not for comedy. Not like, you know, Ralph does, where he just throws it down there just to get a reaction out of us. No, this was in conversation completely out of the blue with no pretense or malice. It just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome.
I mean, are you surprised to hear that that happened? Because I'm not, as you know, I'm not a big, neither are you. Neither one of us are big swearers in real life.
Right.
I mean, we swear for comedy, right?
Sure.
But it just
happened.
But
you less than me, even.
Yes.
Way less.
Yes.
Hey, take it easy.
I'm just saying.
I mean, Chip was like, come on, Bean. Like, I think Chip said, aren't you the one person I shouldn't have to have my finger on the button for? Allie, you were stunned.
I was stunned, but the most stunned was Bean, which made it so much better.
Yeah, that's the best.
So for folks listening now, you probably didn't hear it. So this was in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday. We had on the showrunner for this this NFL Films program on Amazon called All or Nothing. And it starts Friday, by the way. It's about the 2016 Rams season. It's a great show.
That's a great series.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They did the Cardinals last year.
Yep.
The Cardinals, right?
Yep.
Kind of like HBO Hard Knocks. Anyway, so we had him on, and it was near the end of the interview, and I was mentioning that it was great that they had John Hamm as the narrator this year. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about how awesome John Hamm is.
And what you wanted to do to him?
And close.
Oh.
Somehow, this is what came out.
I was kidding.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You got John Hamm back as your narrator again this year. He's pretty dreamy, right?
Oh, you're the worst.
I mean, let's be honest, Keith. Let's just be men here. I mean, he is effing amazing, right?
Did you just cuss, Bean?
I did.
Are you
serious? Never done that
John Hamm just made you cuss?
That was a moment with Bean.
In defense of Bean, he's not wrong.
He is not. I agree 100%.
That's awesome.
But the fact that he said the word, then immediately backed it up with effing, in case we didn't know what that word was.
Yeah, like amazing. Somehow that was going to erase the bad word
But the way delay works, if Chip got out of delay, no one heard the first word. So mm-hmm. when Bean says effing, they would hear
Maybe.
That.
Maybe, yeah.
And Bean knew that.
Okay.
Not the credit.
Even a little bit. And I'm not going to lie, it shook me.
Oh, it's not that big a deal.
No, it did. Because it never has happened before, and I think I expect a certain level of professionalism. Even on this show, I feel like there's some things...
When does that start?
Because I feel like there's some things I know I can't say.
Right.
It should never cross my mind to say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
I was disappointed in me as
Oh, Bean.
We're all disappointed in you, but not for that. Normal conversation, that kind of word comes up a lot.
Of course. And it happens frequently where somebody says it on the air. It's usually a caller or a guest who's just having a conversation. That's how people talk. And
it's
anyone but Bean. So I wasn't happy with that. Want to hear it again?
Yeah.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You got John Hamm back as your narrator again this year. He's pretty dreamy, right?
Oh, you're the worst.
I mean, let's be honest, Keith. Let's just be men here. I mean, he is f***ing amazing. Effing amazing, right?
Did you just cuss, Bean?
I did.
Are you
I've
serious?
Never done that before.
John Hamm just made you cuss?
That was a moment with Bean.
I'm happy with that.
Let me add a P.S. to this because it happened yesterday, and I don't know if we'll have time otherwise to play this. This is another great piece of tape that I want to play, and that is Dan Stevens, who, Kevin, you love from Legion.
Yep.
Beauty and the Beast star. I know him and love him from Downton Abbey. He's doing a press tour right now for his new sci-fi film called Killswitch, I think. And he's on a British TV show, and a woman who's interviewing him says something. But she, unlike me, she didn't realize what it was she said on the air. And everybody else is laughing around her. And she's just so confused, but presses on with the interview. And I think you'll enjoy this. Again, Dan Stevens from yesterday.
This is you as an All-American and a big opportunity for you in Hollywood. You must have had to beat off a lot of American men.
Okay. Now, that's not what she means.
No.
Beat out a lot of American men, a lot of competition for the role, and you'll hear that her co-host and the actor Dan Stevens start cracking up. She's going on because she doesn't know.
You must have had to beat off a lot of American men to get this part. Why does that make you giggle? Did you not have to beat them off?
Oh, wow.
She still doesn't know.
By the way, you hear all the crew laughing in the background, all the people behind the cameras and whatnot. They just can't believe it's happening.
Why does that make you giggle? Did you not have to beat them off?
You acted to mistake? Get the role. There was quite a few men up for the role as well.
So this is her co-host who's jumping in to rephrase the question. You know, to get the role is what she means.
There were.
And compose yourself.
By the way, she's compose yourself as if she's like, she's now ticked at Dan Stevens because, hey, why can't you be professional? I just asked you a reasonable question and you're still laughing. What's up, dude?
Okay, Dan, why are there lots of other Americans up for this role?
I guess there were. When I sat down with the director, Adam Wingard, it was very apparent that we had a very similar twisted sense of humour, and we wanted to have a lot of fun with this and make people laugh with it. And that's exactly what you've done to me this morning, and I hope we can do with the guest, you know.
So there you go.
By the way, I've been in that position as well where everyone else is laughing.
Yeah.
And you're sort of trying to think back through what you said and how you could have screwed up. That happens to me a lot.
Oh,
it's weird. It's weird when everybody's laughing. You go, okay, they all get something.
And a lot of times, if it's something good, you'll say, what did I do? Not knowing that, no, it's just funny.
Well, it's just an assumption.
Yeah.
On my part, yeah.
Oh, good.
And she beat him off.
Yeah.
All right, good times. Watch our language, people. Bean.
Right?
Bean.
I know. Believe me.
Pay attention. I hate people that don't pay attention to the rules.
I not only put myself on notice, I put a dollar in the swear jar, so I'm good.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm not going to lie to you. I know the name, but I couldn't put a face to the name.
We are going to give away tickets for Cal Jam 17, which is the Foo Fighters.
Amazing. Queens of the Stone Age, yep. Royal Blood. A crazy lineup. It's so good, I can't stand it.
Also, you qualify to see the Foo Fighters in New Orleans, and you get to stay with Bean, which I think is cool of him.
I'm not sure that was part of the deal.
We have tickets for the advanced screening of The House today. We're going to talk to John Martsoukas.
No.
Close?
Jason.
I was looking at the last name, make sure I didn't screw that up. Martsoukas.
There you go.
All right.
He's in The House.
Literally, too.
I'm happy with
at
that.
Nine.
I'm happy with that.
Okay.
The Bachelorette Report on the program today. Beer mug farts for toys. Not aware of this one, but I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
And Kevin Annoys You. Got a brand new Kevin Annoys You, and I think it's pretty strong. So
is it every day Kevin Annoys You?
Yeah, but this is exceptional.
Okay.
Yeah. I stalk the halls here at K-Rock and really, truly just go after people.
And a band, too.
I mean, there was a band involved. Yeah.
Great band.
I mean, Cold War Kids was involved.
They might not come back.
Well, maybe. It's possible. But I think they have a pretty good sense of humor, so we're hoping that they will.
Okay.
We'll tell you about that in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Kevin and Bean.
You guys suck. Both you guys suck.
LA and OC's alternative rock. K-Rock.
Fire must cleanse us.
Right?
That's what I'm saying.
Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must cleanse us.
Ralph solved all the evil in the world while you were out, Kevin.
Excellent. You should fill Kevin in because he's going to need to know
why. Starting my own cult.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Where we purge the earth of evil.
I see. And who makes that choice?
By engulfing it in flame, and that fire will cleanse us.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, yesterday I discovered that Taylor Swift must burn.
Okay.
After her Russell Westbrook MVP congratulatory video.
Yeah, that's the most annoying thing on earth.
Right?
Yes.
So, but if we burned her, then we'd be cleansed, is what I'm saying.
So you just get to cherry pick each person that needs to be burned?
As it comes up.
All right.
We'll see you at the meeting. Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must cleanse us.
We all get in a circle, and then we have a lottery, and someone gets to light the match.
And you are the sole arbiter of who burns? There's no committee or vote or anything like that?
I think we all know who needs to burn and who doesn't. It's pretty evident. I think everyone will be it'll be a consensus.
I see.
It's pretty obvious.
All right. Let's move on to what's going on.
Smell that kerosene bean?
Showbiz here on a Wednesday morning.
Just here's saying. If you look down and you're in a puddle,
you'll know.
You'll know.
Come on, man.
Right? Ryan Reynolds might be the perfect dude.
Agreed.
He just seems to get better and better.
He's annoyingly good.
Monday on Instagram, he reminded everyone it's important to take a CPR refresher course because he just did that and he hopes you'll do the same. He took one that focused on babies and toddlers because, you know, he and his wife, Blake Lively, have a couple little ones. He said it's important. It only takes a few hours. It's kind of sort of fun. Also, he recommends it because a few years ago, he saved his nephew's life.
Wow.
Oh.
He said, all because I knew what to do. So he wants you to go out there and contact your local Red Cross and find out how to give CPR. Pretty good advice.
Agreed. It is. I don't know how to do it.
You don't?
I don't.
Yeah, but well, what's the odds you're going to run across another human being?
You're not around people, so you'll never use it.
Right.
I mean, I go to airports and restaurants and...
That's not for you.
Yeah. I went to Best Buy yesterday. Somebody could have fallen down in the Best Buy and needed CPR.
You don't strike me as a person who intercedes.
Right.
Yeah. More be like a tweeter like, why is this person all passed out in front of me in line at Best Buy?
Slowing everything down.
I'm trying to get my monster cables.
The only thing I know, because of the campaign they've done, is that the tempo that you're supposed to compress somebody's chest to try to get them breathing again is supposed to match Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
That's correct.
That's the perfect BPM. But I have no idea where to put my hands or anything like that on how to make it work. And you don't do the mouth thing anymore, right? It's just chest now, right?
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
It's not
right.
mandatory.
Right.
It's certainly helpful, but the chest compression will also work the lungs to enough to make things happen. It's really more important about the chest compression. And it's two fingers above the end of the sternum.
Oh, okay.
It's where you want to place the ball of your hand.
All right.
The only person that you'll do this on is you, Bean. So.
Bean doing CPR to himself.
Is there such a thing as...
Stay alive.
And that's because even though there might be other people around, none of them will want to save me.
Well,
it was insinuated.
Fire must cleanse us. This is bad news for everyone, especially the people in Bachelor in Paradise. Yes, they're back in production, but there's new rules in place.
I hope the number one rule is no Corinne.
Well, that should be a mandatory.
She's gone, though, right?
I don't think she'll be returning.
Okay.
But producers have told the contestants on Bachelor in Paradise they can only have two drinks per hour.
All right. They're killing everything now.
What? And they have to wear parkas.
The bartender will keep track of what everyone's drinking and how much. And also they're being offered food constantly while filming to help with the alcohol consumption.
You're taking away all the fun.
Why bother?
Right?
Why bother if they don't get sloppy, stupid, drunk, and do regretful things?
Right.
For our pleasure. Bachelor in Paradise.
Those are
Bachelor
terrible.
Bachelor in Hell, it sounds like to me.
Terrible rules.
Yeah. It's not going to be good for anybody.
Fire must cleanse us.
Right? Let me get down there to Puerto Vallarta. Cleanse some fire. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kelly Pickler. Oh, Kelly Pickler. Kelly Pickler.
Yeah.
She was on American Idol. She was cute.
And didn't she end up having a little bit of a career with one of the networks as a correspondent or something, or doing light interviews?
I don't know about that, but she's got her own reality show over there on CMT.
Oh, does she? All right.
Called I Love Kelly Pickler. I think that's the name of it, seriously.
Really?
Yes. Felicia Day is 38 years old today. Rob Dyrdek is 43, or Rob Durden, depending on who you talk to.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Robin Big, and we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That was probably half of the times I said it, and he never corrected me.
He's a lovely gentleman.
No, he's very funny, because then later we called him back, and he's like, yeah, I heard it every time. I just thought it was funny.
What would possess you? Where does the Durden come from? Tyler Durden?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Fight Club?
It's the only thing I could think of. I don't know. But he thought it was very funny.
Well, it was.
And you had paperwork, so I guess you assumed it was a silent K when you looked at it.
You know, the silent K's.
Right?
The names.
We'll have to talk to John Mouzakis when we talk to him later on today and see how he feels. Elon Musk is 46 years old. John Cusack is 51. Kathy Bates, 69 years old. And legendary director, funny man Mel Brooks celebrates his 91st birthday today.
Wow.
How about that? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got some stuff you just gotta try. What is it?
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock, KROQ.
My job here is to annoy.
Yep.
Mission accomplished.
How am I doing?
You're doing great.
Nailing it.
We have a feature called Kevin Annoys You where I spend some time and I go around and I make sure that I annoy everyone individually.
Usually with a leaf blower, but not this time.
Last time it was a leaf blower because we were talking about that. This time it happened to be a Nerf machine gun. I don't know if you've seen these, but they're pretty spectacular. And you can shoot like 30 Nerf darts with the pull of one trigger.
Wow.
It's pretty sweet.
Is that an item that you would generally find in a professional office environment?
In a good one, yes. So, I know it's a toy, but it's a really powerful gun. Like, we realized early that we had to sort of keep our distance so we don't hurt people.
Yeah, it does seem, I mean, it's only Nerf, but people react strongly to getting hit by it.
Yes, so
it does not feel great.
We did get a memo saying, hello, everyone, and then they're talking about how to keep people safe. And everybody needs to show their badges. We have to, no matter who you are, you have to wear your ID badge. And if you don't, then, you know, bad things will happen.
Uh-oh. Well, the fear is that anybody wanders in off the street.
Which gets happens into the all the time.
Right. So the plan was let's make everybody wear an ID badge because that way you can identify that this person deserves to be here. And by the way, in all the time since this memo came out, I have never seen any of us wearing a badge.
Yeah, we're not.
Nope. And how about for the office staff? You see many badges there?
I found some people that didn't.
Okay.
And that's why we bring you
Kevin
Annoys You.
Top notch production. I just want to say that right up front.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm reading from the memo.
Just got a memo. 7 simple steps to a safer building. Apparently, people are supposed to be wearing their ID at all times, and people here are not wearing their ID. And that's why we bring you this special edition of Kevin Annoys You, Kevin Ryder, Badge Police.
Now, tell me if I'm just a little too sensitive, but does it sound at times like I'm saying badge police?
I had not thought of that.
As you listen to this, as you listen to me assault people with a Nerf gun, maybe listen for that.
Where's your badge?
Dude. How great is that gun?
It's rapid fire.
How many people need one?
Yeah, that's
pretty
good.
So I go into Mr. Weatherby's office, who's our boss, and I believe the person who wrote the memo, and you think he had his badge on?
I don't.
Can I see your badge, please, sir? Your badge, please? Badge? Did you read the memo?
I did read the
badge.
By the way, good aim, Kevin.
Right?
You got him, man.
I really was nailing him. And then his assistant, Sabrina, was out in the hallway.
Come here for a sec. Do you have your badge?
No, she doesn't!
Sounds like you're yelling badge.
It does. Right?
Yeah, I can hear nothing else.
And
now
then the sound of the gun is—it's making me think other. This is weird.
It's badge police, isn't it?
This, God, this got very awkward.
Badge? Do you have your ID badge? Yes. ID badge?
Badge?
No badge.
Listen.
Get him!
Now people are cheering. All right. Now the one thing that I was afraid of is we didn't want this. There's so many mass shootings now. So we wanted to make sure we didn't bring those real stories to life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we put Nerf gun and we used Nerf everywhere we can. Because, you know, there's been a lot of shootings and we don't want people to even think about that. So.
Yeah. They see a figure in the doorway with what looks like a weapon. The last thing you want them to do is be afraid.
Right. Exactly. So our receptionist, who is the best, Jared.
The best.
I've been telling him for about a month that we were going to do this, and every single day he's been waiting and watching when I walk through the lobby.
Oh, no.
And when I showed up in the lobby, he was outside of the front door, and he took off like a jackrabbit.
Who ran?
So he's sprinting, and I'm sprinting after him and running around the building trying to catch him. And he lost me.
He's pretty quick.
He's really quick.
I think he got over a fence or something because you were right behind him. And then all of a sudden he was just gone.
That's what I'm saying.
By the way, I'm
sorry.
This is people at work. I just would like to remind you once again, this video is shot while during business hours while people are working.
And this is Chip. And this really annoys me because I was unloading on her and she acted like I wasn't even there.
Wow.
on her badge?
Chip, show me your badge. Show me your badge. Badge police. Chip, show me your badge. Chip. Damn you, Chip.
I don't like any of that.
I unloaded on her.
It
That's awful. Listen to that.
It's audio. Awful.
So then.
Show me your badge,
Chad. I mean, I was saying badge with a B. I was saying badge.
Oh,
and she and Chip doesn't even look up. She's just walking down the hall on her phone with no reaction whatsoever to being assaulted.
So I go in the H2 radio sound space, and who's there? Cold War kids.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I thought it was a weird, like...
Badges, please.
What's happening here?
Oh, I'm glad to see your badges.
Are these poisonous darts?
I demolished that band.
These guys are like, hey, we're here like doing K-Rock a favor, playing some of our songs in the sound space. Who's this guy?
I demolished them.
No, you got him. You got all three of them, man. You right? Hit every nice. One of them.
The only thing that I want to tell a story about is the receptionist, Jared Running, found out later it was our security guard's first day filling in for Charles.
Oh, no.
So it was his very first day. And my biggest fear was, hey, let's not bring back any of that ugliness.
Right.
And so he's sitting there, and the receptionist, Jared, runs by him.
Runs for his life.
At 150 miles an hour.
Oh,
and I went
no.
back to him later, and I was like, dude, I'm really sorry if we scared you. He's like, I honestly thought that there was a shooter, and
oh,
I didn't know who to call. I wasn't sure what to do.
Oh, no.
He would have felt so much better knowing it was just the VAG police,
right?
Something completely different.
That's what I'm saying.
Kevin and Bean. Please enjoy our stupid show.
Bean Show, it is 6:39.
Right.
Right?
Mic on, mic off. Doesn't really matter.
It's on.
Doesn't really matter.
Hey, Kevin's back, you guys.
Yeah.
That was important here. All right.
Bad way.
Woo! Thank you so much for tuning in. I think this was this is an interesting take from a doctor named Roshina Raj. We thought it might be interesting to hear what she has to say and talk about it because she has investigated playing hard to get as a technique.
Mm.
And let's face it. Look, I know there are a lot of different opinions on the proper way to date, and everybody's different. Everybody likes a different approach. But I just think it's so complicated already, and it's so hard to match up with somebody. I think the last thing I want is somebody pretending.
Well, you shouldn't play hard to get ever. Because you're super lucky that you got married.
Yeah, you found right? one woman that would say yes.
Right? Jump on that.
I mean, if somebody likes you, what's the downside of admitting that, hey, I like you? Why would you pretend that you don't like somebody?
Because people are damaged. That's why. That's what we're learning from this doctor and her report, apparently.
All right. This is a new series from Mashable and Bravo, and it's called Love 101. Let's hear what Dr. Raj has to say.
By the way, I love the weird jazz music that's behind this report.
It's like you're at Rio.
We like people who like us, but more than that, we like people whose feelings we don't know yet. Ever waited for a text response that seemed like it would never come? Yeah, me too. It can drive us crazy, but it can also weirdly attract us more to the person who's not responding. When a lover doesn't respond to a text promptly, we have that anxious, nail-biting roller coaster of emotions until they finally write back. As opposed to the lover who always responds within seconds. It makes us content and secure, but it's far less exciting.
Lover! My lover! I'm very uncomfortable. Where's my lover?
I'm very uncomfortable with her frequent use of the word lover. It's lover.
So what she's saying is two people are new, they've met, they're taking that next step to get together or whatever.
If I text her back in 20 minutes, she's like, I guess. If I text her back in 4 hours, she's like, yeah, I'm so hot. I got to get some of that. But I don't get
it. I'm not sure that's an accurate summary.
Okay, then tell me what I'm missing. What is the doctor saying? Ralph, you're the expert here.
I think that is what she's saying. I think she's saying if you keep someone waiting. Well, but here's the thing. Listen to her own words. It creates a roller coaster of emotion. You're just creating turmoil and drama in a situation where there is none. And that's what I'm saying. Some people are effed up, and they thrive on drama and question marks and uncertainty.
Or maybe the
and
chase,
ill
even.
At ease feelings.
Yeah, it's the chase and being pursued. A lot of people enjoy that. Which it
no,
tends
but we're
to
not
be
talking
a lot of...
about the person being chased or pursued. She's talking about the person waiting for the text.
Yeah.
is more excited because they're not getting a response back from someone they care about. It's not about the person being chased who likes being chased. It's about the person who likes being held in suspension, not knowing what's going on.
That person enjoys chasing, I think. I think that person enjoys chasing.
They're thanking you, sir.
They're the ones that are doing the chasing, and if it's a little more difficult, it's a little more like
what happens when you catch? Okay, if it's all about the chasing, thanking you, then what happens when they respond and then you're together and then the relationship goes forward? How long can you maintain the tension of that push and pull? Oh, when will they text me back? Before it doesn't exist anymore. You can't create an entire relationship based
on that. You're right. A lot of people do thrive on that drama. And yes. Those same people, once they do get it, they move on to the next.
They're effed up.
Because it's not fun anymore.
Broken people and fire must cleanse us.
Okay.
Here's some more.
Researchers call this phenomenon the uncertainty effect. The fact there are more intrigued and attractive...
Right. Researchers are using...
This uncertainty is called by researchers uncertainty.
...to uncertainty than certainty. Studies have shown that single men were more interested in dating women who appeared disinterested or who played hard to get...
Can you stop one second? The band is going off script.
Right?
I don't know if you noticed. They are jamming at this
They're
point.
They're improvising now.
They're tired of this conversation already.
At this point.
Rather than women who were warmer and friendlier. And women, before you start shaking your heads at the men, know right. that another study found similar behavior in women. In this study, women were told how some men rated their Facebook profiles. Female college students were more interested in the men when they didn't know how they rated them than they were in men who actually rated them highly. But one caveat. When it comes to casual sex, another study didn't show any benefit to playing hard to get. In that case, you may as well let it all...
You're having sex with an old Model A.
Why is that sound effect happening? Why is that there?
Because that's the Yawooga sex horn. That's why.
So
that horn means sex.
But one caveat. When it comes to casual sex, another study didn't show any benefit to playing hard to get. In that case, you may as well let it all hang out.
Yeah.
Not literally, but you catch my drift.
Oh, not literally.
It doesn't mean literally.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Don't just dangle my scrotum in the park.
Oh, God.
Is that what you're saying, Doc?
When it comes to casual sex, it doesn't matter. No, right. It's casual sex. You're boning. You're not playing hard to get because it's casual.
Right, right.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But she's saying if that's your goal, if that's your end game in a relationship, then there's no point in trying to withhold anything from your partner. Because everything, if it's up on Front Street, then everybody's involved and everybody can just go have their sex. Which makes the casual sex relationship sound much healthier than the dating relationship she's describing.
Wow. It kind of does.
Yeah.
And by the way, just to recap real quick, the one thing the doctor said about the Facebook thing. Women, it sounded like she was saying to me, did I get this right, Ralph? Women are more attracted to somebody if they don't know whether they will like them back or not, rather than the people that have already expressed interest and given you high hopes they already like you.
Yes.
I don't get it.
It's
not for you, Bean.
They get intrigued by the unknown, by the mystery. They are trying to solve a mystery. If there's no mystery, then that excitement is taken away from them. And that's the case of a lot of women. They like
and something that's harder to get is more valuable.
Boy. Yes,
yeah,
right.
I got you.
And they want some of
right?
too, right?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's a suckfest.
LA and OC's alternative rock. KROQ.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Why is that song so good?
There's no answer to that question, Bean.
Yeah, I guess you're
you
right.
You can just say, I love that song.
I do love it. Okay. It's Portugal the Man on K-Rock. Hey, let's give away these Foo Fighters tickets, shall we? This Cal Jam 17 is amazing. Foo Fighters are headlining, but so many other great bands on the bill, including Liam Gallagher, Cage, the Elephant Queens of the Stone Age, Royal Blood, so much more. We're giving away some tickets, and you're also in the drawing to see the band again in New Orleans. We're doing it with a game. We got Foo Fighters fans on the line. I think this game is called Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
All right, Kevin, you want to explain this to the callers?
Yes, you get to pick either Dave the King of Mexico or Ali, and they're going to give you clues, and what your answer needs to be the title of a Foo Fighters song, but they can't use any of the words of the song, so they're going to give you clues, and then you say which song they're talking about from the Foo Fighters.
Name as many as you can, 45 seconds on the clock. If you just get stuck, nothing's coming to mind, you can ask, hey, go ahead and pass, and go back to it at the end if you have time. So the first contestant, I think, is going to be, is it going to be Jennifer?
Yep.
She's up first. Jennifer in Westminster. Hey, Jen, how are you?
Good morning.
Well, we are going to make you go first, but the good news is you get to pick Allie if you're smart, or Dave if you want to really roll the dice with a terrible partner. What do you think you want to do here?
You know, I think I'm going to roll the dice with Dave.
Yeah. Now, why?
All right.
Tell me how you could possibly make that decision based on the times you've heard him play.
I'm a sucker for the underdog.
That's okay. Right. But all I always right. win, so, you know,
sure.
You're in good position.
All right, 45 seconds on the clock. Again, Dave, don't use any of the words in the title. Jennifer, try to come up with the Foo Fighters song he is alluding to. Good luck to you both.
And go.
Damn it. All right, not run, but...
walk.
All right, the opposite of little?
Big me.
Yeah. Airplanes, they go up in the sky.
A320.
No.
Jet.
If you're studying, yeah, okay.
Yep.
All right. This is on a clock. What do you keep on a clock?
Time. Everlong.
No. Yeah. Think about the clock and how you read it. You know, what do you keep on a clock?
Pass.
Okay. If you're a faker, if you're a faker, what are you doing? When you're a kid, you do this a lot.
So sorry. The clock clue was times like these Dave was looking for, Jennifer. And the faker is the pretender is where he was hoping to go. But you did get 3 out of the 5, and that may be enough to win. So let's meet your competition.
I just looked at Dave and said, what the hell do I have then? What are these songs?
Here's my favorite thing about Dave, though. He says, you're a faker. And then she doesn't get it. And then he goes,
you're a faker.
Yeah.
Say it again.
And then she doesn't get
because
it.
Because that clue was so damn good that it deserved to be.
All right, let's say good morning to Travis. Hi, Travis.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Oh, Travis isn't going to win.
Come on, Travis.
What did you think of the job that Jennifer and Dave did? Were you impressed?
Yeah, I thought she did a great job.
For the first three?
Thanks, Travis.
Just know your Foo Fighter songs. We'll be fine, Travis.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
And go.
Wait, I can't. Hold on. I haven't even opened it. Start it again.
What?
Come on.
It wouldn't open.
Okay. I had that same issue.
Okay, so here's.
And I did it.
The thing is, we don't let them look early so they can get their clues ready, so they have to open them right away.
Wouldn't open.
I had to open the Rubik's Cube as well.
All right. Are you ready now?
Okay, I'm ready now.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, when you play tug of war, you're using a.
Rope.
Yes. These are people you look up to. It could be your parents, a football player. There's someone brave.
I hear it.
Yes. Okay, pass that one. This is something you want from someone else. It's not their worst, but...
the best of you?
Yes. Not short, but...
long road to ruin?
Very close.
Everlong.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, back to the hard one. Oh!
No, keep going.
It's existence is your... like a baby gives you...
Sorry, he got 4.
He won.
He already won. Okay, that was all my life.
That's what I thought. That's what the kids thought.
Yay, Travis!
Kevin's like, no, stop.
Keep going.
That was very confusing.
Travis, you got 4. You and Allie did a great job. You are going to see Foo Fighters. Congratulations at the big festival when you're eligible. Perhaps go see them in New Orleans as well.
How's that underdog now, Jennifer?
Hey, leave her alone.
Way to go. Thank you for listening, Jennifer. Great competitor as well. Thank you for playing Title Fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Cool. Sounds dope.
Yeah, fresh.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
Twice the Bachelorettes this week on ABC television means twice the Bachelorette reports here on K-Rock. Hit it, Steve.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman and he loves the Bachelorettes. Yeah. With Petra's Papa Dick is always watching it. Yeah. Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on the Bachelorette. Ow!
All right, from the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570 LA Sports, our friend the P joins us back on K-Rock 2 days in a row. How are you, P?
Hey, boys. Hello, and Allie. What's cracking?
Hey, P.
Big resolution last night. We got a chance to finally see Lee versus Kenny come to a head. P, it was very exciting out there in the wilderness in Norway.
It's exciting, but also an anticlimax, I think.
Well, yeah. it all ended the way we expected and
but
hoped
Lee
it would
didn't
end.
Cry. He didn't, you know, he didn't even do a real exit interview like I wanted to see. He didn't get all bitter and go off. There was none of that.
Yeah, they were on a 2-in-1 date with Rachel out there in the woods. Each of them presented their story. Lee just lied through his hat about Kenny's behavior. Kenny called him on it. And she had to make a decision, but boy, Kenny was not happy with Lee when he found out what Lee had said to her.
If I had ever been physical with you, you would bear the scars. You garbage piece of and that's all I got to say to you.
Jesus loves you.
You know what? Jesus don't love you because you're a piece of I'm going to drag my across your grave, you son of a bitch, rotten piece of ass. Eat and die.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Wow, indeed.
Kenny are they not off. Getting along, Ralph?
They're not getting along.
That's what we call emptying the gun.
That's right.
That's like in the video game GoldenEye when you kill the guy and you just stand over there and just pump him full of more lead.
Just empty that clip.
And then he went back.
I know, he went back for some more. He wanted to settle things. Rachel did send Lee home saying she didn't trust him because of what he said about Kenny. Mm. And Kenny did. He was about to leave with Rachel in the helicopter, and he said, hold on, I'll be right back. And then he went back to Lee one more time just to try to straighten him out. But the funny thing was, when the rose ceremony came up next, that everyone was sort of up in the air. No one knew what was going to happen, except for Josiah. Josiah, you may remember, was the winner of the spelling bee last week. And he has endless confidence when it comes to his relationship with Rachel. One thing I have to say about him is that he is never wavering in his belief that he will be the last man standing.
I'll be fine. If she doesn't give me a rose, there's something wrong with her brain.
Oh, no.
And of course, Josiah did not get a rose last night, and she sent him packing.
You know what? It blows me away that these guys that never make out with her
right.
and see these other guys literally bending her head back like a Pez dispenser and getting the candy out of her neck. I mean, just making out with her so hard. And they're like, oh, how could I not get a rose? It's like, I don't know. You haven't touched her.
It is remarkable the level of unfounded confidence these guys have.
It's like the early editions of American Idol when they used to just be horrible. And think that they were the best thing on the planet.
Yeah.
It's craziness.
Yeah. Confidence really is key. But Josiah was sent home, as was Anthony. That was a bit of a shock because they seemed to have a good time riding horses down Rodeo Drive together.
Oh, that was beautiful, especially when the horse blew it out right in the middle of the kitchen store.
Yeah, that was not good for the shop owners when Tornado lifted its tail and just emptied itself on the floor. But I really thought he was a good-looking fella. I thought that she was going to keep him around. He also went home, and Eric, who was safe because he already had a rose from a one-on-one date, it was not lost on him that two of the guys who were sent home were brothers. He was upset with that fact. And I think
you mean they were related?
No, P, that they were African-American gentlemen.
Oh.
And I believe that he was calling Rachel out subtly with some racism here, which I thought was odd with this remark.
She had to make some tough decisions tonight, so two more black guys sent home by Rachel.
Two more black guys sent home by Rachel.
Yeah, I mean, she's sending more black guys home than an NFL training camp. Bring your playbook.
But it's,
Josiah.
It seems to me it's about even, I think, still with the black and white ratio of who she's dating.
Yeah, but if she sends a black guy home, she ain't about it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see. Eric seems to be keeping track, keeping score of who's sticking around the house. Much more so than anyone else. Everyone else seems to be like, well, now at this point, we're all just personalities and people. We've kind of been blinded to the race card.
Really? Because I have a whole thing on my wall of a black. I have a whole graph and a chart and a bell curve of all the black guys and the white guys. Come on, we got to keep score this year.
Venn diagrams. I was just happy that this is the Scandinavian edition of The Bachelorette. We've been in Norway. We went to Denmark. And now we're in Sweden. And all the fellas get to meet their Viking coaches because they're going to teach them how to be Vikings.
Okay. These guys are better than the handball guys.
Handball is life. We found that out yesterday.
Okay.
But I think the Vikings, it's the Vikings, really, that you have to enjoy seeing them fight like Vikings and learning the spirit of Vikings.
These guys, it's their country. They can't pronounce goddamn Viking. Let's talk to our Viking coaches.
I'm Tom, and I'm a Viking fighting instructor, and knows a lot about Viking fighting and games from Viking time.
And I'm Morten. I know exactly the same as Tom.
So Tom and Morten are our Viking coaches and made them fight each other with shields and swords.
Knowledge is equal.
Their knowledge is right.
There's no deviation. They know exactly the same amount of Viking knowledge.
Vikings. Adam got his head split open with a shield.
All right.
As did Kenny.
All right.
That's where we saw where that blood was coming from on Kenny's above Kenny's eye.
Are you a little resentful about the misguided promos?
Yes,
a
little bit.
Yeah, you thought it was Lee, right?
I thought it was going to be a fight. Someone's going to throw down. And they were throwing down, but it was in the old Viking style.
Sure.
So both of them walked away injured, but, you know, blood was spilled.
They were all dressed like Hodor.
They were, yes. But the blood was spilt, but I think it would turn Rachel on a little bit to see the guys get a little testosterone flowing. However, it wasn't enough to keep Kenny around.
Mm.
Now, here's the thing. Kenny beats out Lee at the beginning of the episode, but as things get closer to the end, as he sees the hometown dates on the horizon and he's missing his daughter more and more, I think it dawns on Kenny that maybe this isn't for him. That
Well, did he even kiss her?
I think a couple times.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he gets a more gentle discard. You know, Lee had the real tavernly, like a bar kind of bouncer discard.
Yeah.
And Kenny gets a more gentle, you know, hey, thanks for playing.
Well, because I think it was mutual. It was mutual, P. I think he realized maybe...
Oh, come on. There's no such thing as a mutual breakup.
It was, because he was missing his daughter, Mackenzie, back at home. He had to leave her to go on this thing. That was weighing heavy on him. I don't think he was feeling it really completely with Rachel. He didn't want to bring her into Mackenzie's life and run the risk of maybe his daughter being disappointed. And I think Rachel agreed that although they were getting along, maybe they weren't headed necessarily down the same path.
I hope he got to sit next to Lee on the flight back across the Atlantic.
All I know is I think Rachel was very classy in how she let him go. Plus, P, I know you love this. She kept it 100, which is nice.
And I'm not trying to keep you here if I don't know. And I feel like, based on what you've told me about how you feel and where I'm at this moment, I feel like if I'm just keeping it absolutely 100,
which I don't want you to do,
I feel like you should go home.
Yeah. How many times have people kept it 100 this season so far, P?
You know who started keeping it 100 and now we finally have a crossover?
I thought it was Kevin. I thought it was Kevin Ryder.
It was. That's what I thought, too.
AJ.
Ray J.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on VH1, he would stand up there in front of those a bunch of, let's just say less than reputable girls, and he'd say, I just want to keep it 100 with y'all.
Huh.
Well,
I'm
now
just
we
trying
know.
To keep it 100. I mean, he said it every single sentence, and it's
how about
now
that?
Crossed over into The Bachelor.
Well, she kept it 100 last night, and Kenny went home, as did Will, which was a surprise, although he was kind of a nerd. And then Alex, the big buff Russian, also got sent home.
Yeah, people are just getting absolutely weeded out. And
it sounds like a bloodbath last night, you guys.
Yeah,
literally.
The Red Wedding. It happened, though, because we had back-to-back episodes. Like, usually we have a week to process who's gone.
Right.
This was more just like a carpet bombing of contestants.
So how many do we have now?
Now
like
we're
40?
Down to six. We got
six.
We got Eric and Peter, Brian, Matt, Dean, and Adam. Why
but
Matt's
what's
still
the white
there?
To black?
White to black, let's see. Not to give Eric any more ammunition, but I think it is...
4-2.
What's that?
It's 4-2, isn't
4-2, 4-2, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. Rachel's not about it, Pete.
Not about it, about
oh,
it.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm glad you guys are keeping it 100.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what they say, guys. The blacker the berry.
The sweeter the juice, right?
The more seared your tuna is.
Okay, all right. I wasn't sure how that was going to go. Well, listen, guys, is this a the last Bachelorette report for a while? Right, because of the holidays.
I think they come back next week, don't they, P? Or are they
I
taking
can work?
Are they taking the 4th of July off? I don't know.
What do I look like?
I don't know. I'll be here too, P. So
all right, I'll let you boys work it out.
We'll be back.
I don't have a real
all right,
job.
look for P with Matt Money Smith this afternoon at AM 570 LA Sports, your Dodger station. Good Doyers. Thanks, P. Thanks, Ralph.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on The Bachelorette.
K-Rock.
LNOC's alternative rock.
We're a bunch of sorry sons of bitches.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
All right. I'm getting serious about music.
How about that?
All right. Rodney on the XM.
Congratulations to legendary veteran DJ Rodney Bingenheimer, who apparently has a new gig. Just signed with Sirius XM Satellite Radio to do to do a new weekly music show on their Little Steven's Underground Garage channel. It will premiere on Sunday, July 16th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. If you are interested, you can tune in on Sirius XM's Underground Garage, channel 21, and you can
listen. I don't even know what that is.
Well, you'll find out, Rodney. I'm sure they'll teach you all about it, and you'll learn how satellite radio works. But how great that he's already got a gig.
Because
Very happy for him. That's awesome.
He was out of work for just a couple weeks, and now there he is.
Liars.
I feel like he got a new job a lot faster than we would have if we lost this gig.
Thank God.
No.
Well, speak for yourself.
By the way, for those who are wondering,
I'm going to work with Rodney.
I would love that.
Sidekick.
That would be so great.
Yeah.
He's so great. He is still, in case you're curious, he is still Rodney on the Rock, but now he's Rodney on the ROCK.
In the USA?
Because he's not ROQ anymore like he was all the years he was on K Rock.
All right, great update.
They sound the same, though, Kevin.
Right.
I think you're missing the point.
Still Rodney on the Rock.
Yes.
Right.
But I'm just saying, for people who are wondering, how can he be Rodney on the Rock if he's no longer on the Rock, meaning K Rock? That's the save right there.
Wow!
Can we go do the voice again?
Drama
now,
queen.
Now that it has a happy ending, can we do the voice again?
Sure.
I'm saying.
I'm saying yes.
I'm saying now he's a public figure. He's on Sirius XM Radio. I could just do an impression of that guy that's on Sirius XM Radio. Right?
Giddy up!
I don't.
All right.
I don't like it.
I do like it.
That's a done deal.
I don't like it.
I like it a lot.
Why?
Because it's the best.
Wow, you got to check it out.
All right. I will. And sad news, one of my favorite children's characters, Paddington Bear, the creator of that character, Michael Bond, has passed away at the age of 91. If you never read the Paddington Bear books, you're missing out. If you didn't see the Paddington Bear the movie, by the way, you're really missing out. It was a terrific kids movie that's actually a sequel is going to come out later this year, I believe. The first book was A Bear Called Paddington in 1958. And then Michael Bond went on to write more than 200 books for children. More than 35 million Paddington books have been sold around the world to date. And his most recent one, Paddington's Finest Hour, he just published in April of 2017. So he was working right up until the end.
He is the founder of ISIS.
He was a wonderful man who loved kids and wrote great books for kids. And
he led an incredible life, Michael Bond.
He did. He was a secret agent. He was 007, remember, for Her Majesty's Secret Service.
That was James Bond. Michael Bond, we're talking about.
Disagree on this one.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
That's correct.
I don't think that. Doesn't he always call people Bubba?
Yes.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Oh, no, Robert. Paddington Bear would go around calling people Bubba and then say Booyah in all his books.
No. Right?
Very famous.
No.
Crazy. Yes.
He is a dick.
No, he's not.
Not at all.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mel Brooks is 91 years old today. Actress Kathy Bates turned 69. John Cusack, 51 years old. Elon Musk turns 46. Skateboarder Rob Dyrdek is 43 years old today. Felicia Day is 38. And singer Kelly Pickler, also star of the country music television program, Gimme Some Pickler.
That's not what it's called.
I still haven't looked that up.
But it's a reality show, and everyone, she rides ATVs, and there's a lot of...
It is called I Love Kelly Pickler.
Is it really?
It really is.
I was guessing the first time I said that. I think Gimme Some Pickler might be even better.
Wait, she stars in a show about herself, and the title is how much she loves her? That's weird.
No, I think the I in this case is the viewer.
The viewer, yeah.
I don't like it.
No, I mean,
Bean won't allow it. You missed it, Kevin. Yesterday he was telling us how he won't allow iced coffee, how Allie and I can't enjoy iced coffee.
Is that right?
I can't.
He laid down the law, did he?
Yet iced tea is fine.
Iced tea's perfectly fine. Uh-huh. It's acceptable. Yeah.
Grandfathered in.
Right?
Grandfathered in.
By whom? What year was it made?
The Queen.
The Queen.
The question was, what year was it made? The answer was,
Queen.
The Queen.
I think I've proven my point.
What year?
That would you be thrown up in jeopardy with that answer.
Wow.
I bet, what is the Queen?
Oh, my God.
Still not a year.
Still wrong.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
It's like lame and it's like stupid and it's dumb.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Radio.com. Radio.com.
Ralph told us a couple of weeks ago that he lost his wedding ring. Which I was surprised. I mean, we expect that from Kevin. And we also, Allie, do I remember correctly, we found out that Kevin has lost his wedding ring like 20 times?
Multiple times,
married.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just guessing, 25 or more.
Oh, God.
Frequently, you've lost your wedding ring. But we were surprised because Ralph seems like the grown-up in the group. He seems like he's responsible. And somehow he took it off and just never found it. So a listener, Heather, emailed in and said, "Hey, Kevin and Bean, podcast listener here. I was listening to the story about Ralph losing his wedding ring, and it painfully reminded me of my current situation."
Oh.
And she thought that her story might be a great conversation starter with our listeners who have also lost valuable things. So let's welcome Heather to the show. She was kind enough to agree to come on. How are you, Heather?
Well, doing good, but a little sad, as one would expect.
I would imagine. And by the way, thank you for emailing me and not Kevin, because that way at least it got read.
How dare
exactly.
you?
So what happened? What's going on?
Well, after dating my now fiancé for about 10 years, we have a house, a dog, a kid, and this was just the missing piece. He finally proposed and gave me a gorgeous engagement ring. And about 3 months later, I completely lost it.
Oh no.
So yeah. we're talking valuable here, Heather?
Yes. I would say tens of thousands of dollars valuable.
Ouch. Uh-oh.
Yes.
But it was insured, so no worries.
Right. Not quite so. No. No, not insured.
Less insured than insured.
Yes. When that subject came up, he said, "Well, I was planning to insure it. I just didn't think I needed to do it this quickly."
Well,
oh, no.
So if you lose something of that dollar value, I mean, that's like just giving away your car, right? I mean,
exactly. Yes.
But it's also has the emotional tie-in.
Yes. It's even worse than giving away your car, because the car is interchangeable. This is the ring he gave you even though, you know, you've already been together forever. This is your engagement ring.
That I had, you know, looked at a million websites. We'd gone ring shopping. We've talked about it for years. Yes, this was a big buildup.
How long did you try and not tell him? Like, I know I'll find it within a day or two, so I don't need to bring it up.
I did not try very hard. I was pretty hysterical. So I came home, and he actually reacted great. We have a child, and his first thing was, "Well, at least you didn't lose our kid."
All right.
So,
got a sense
that's
of humor.
Positive.
Right?
All right. Now, Heather, I think I know the answer to this based on something you said later in the email, but I got to ask anyway. Did you try looking for it?
murder button. yes, I have looked for it high, low, everywhere. You name it, I've looked for it. I've literally scoured the streets at work.
Wow. How long ago?
This is about 4 months ago.
4 months.
Oh, man. And you keep running every step you took in your mind over the course of whatever day it was you lost it, you're checking off one by one every possible place. Okay, is it in my car? Is it in my coat pocket? Is it on the street? Is it in the driveway?
Well, somebody else has it by now.
You do all of that, though, at the time, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And then you just, at some point, you just run out of places to look for it.
Was it too big so it could have fallen off, or did you take it off often?
It was a little big, but not big enough that it fell off. And I tried very hard not to take it off. But I think what may have happened was I did take it off to put lotion on, and it fell out of my lap later. But yes, Dean, to answer your question, I feel like the Serial podcast where I am reliving every step of my life.
Every couple
of days. I've pulled security footage from cameras. I have literally I have done everything I possibly could think of. You know, try to think, what credit card did we use to buy it? Is it, you know, American Express? Could I possibly go that route?
Right. Nothing?
Yeah.
So do you think you'll get another engagement ring at some point, or will this just be lesson learned?
Get it.
Oh, I'll get it. Wow, this took a turn.
All right, so Heather, again, we really appreciate you coming on and writing and listening and all that. You said, and I thought this was funny, I'd love to hear stories of other listeners who lost something of high value, particularly if it was in a short amount of time, because it'll make you feel a little better to know you're not alone, right?
Exactly.
Is that a fire alarm, or are you backing up?
That would be construction outside.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right, Heather. Listen, turn on the radio. We're going to take some calls from other listeners who have gone through this same thing. And I feel terrible for what happened to you, but thank you for sharing the story anyway.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Heather.
Okay. We'll talk to you later. By the way, my wife lost her engagement ring, too.
Oh, she didn't lose it.
No, she did.
Right,
she,
but I'm saying,
what are you suggesting? What do you think she did?
I'm just saying.
You think she sold it?
Yep.
No, she lost it, and she wondered if she. The last place she remembered seeing it was at a concert at the Hollywood Bowl. This was many years ago. Did you look for it? We went to see Sting, and she had it on when we went to the show, and noticed she didn't have it on later that night. So she's wondering if maybe just like shaking hands with somebody palmed it somehow. Or if Alex suggested maybe it just fell off. She didn't think that was likely, but never found it. So she's kind of in the Heather boat here. So how about you, Kevin? You ever lost anything valuable?
I mean, you know I have.
I mean, well, it's in your wedding ring.
Yeah.
Have you ever misplaced anything else that you just never found again?
I mean, I've lost my wallet a lot.
Yeah.
Lost my keys a lot. But for me, it's not abnormal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, for Heather, it was a shock, and it's not what normally happens to her.
Yeah.
How about you, Allie?
I lost the ring that my father gave to my mother when they were 16 years old.
Oh, no.
And they gave it to me on my sweet 16. And it had two little ruby hearts on each side and a little diamond in the middle. He worked three jobs for this ring.
Oh, no.
And it was gone until a year and a half later. I was wearing a winter coat, and I reached in the pocket, and it was mittens in the pocket. So I must have taken off the mittens to put lotion on something and just slipped the ring back in the pocket. It was there.
How
Thank
about that?
God.
You were so happy.
Oh my God.
Had you told
Unreal.
Them yet?
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me?
You're
Hell
a half.
No.
I like how Kevin's first impulse in all of these stories is to somehow lie to the people you love.
I'm curious because when I lose things, I assume, give me a couple of days and it'll turn up.
Right.
So I'm not going to tell anybody yet.
Yeah.
All right. So we want to hear your stories. You lost something that had either high dollar value or sentimental value. Doesn't have to be jewelry. Can be anything at all. We want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. That's the same number. You can also text in if you want, and we'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Side effects may include unpleasant taste, headache, dizziness, and morning drowsiness.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
It is Wednesday. That means the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voice is coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, let's get back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about the valuable things you lost. Listener Heather lost her uninsured, very expensive engagement ring and never see it again. Kate writes in from Santa Barbara. She's lost a 3/4-carat diamond earring and a 10-carat tennis bracelet. Doesn't say what jewels were in the 10-carat tennis bracelet, but she decided after that, costume jewelry for me only, which I think may be a good
Probably
policy
smart.
For her after losing that much. All right, where do you want to go here? What do you want to take here?
Let's start with Davinda, I believe. Davinda from Walnut.
Is.
Hi there.
Yes, hi. So I lost my wedding ring on my honeymoon.
Oh, man.
You win.
You did not want to be married.
You win for the amount of time.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a little bit big. I wasn't used to wearing a ring. We were snorkeling in Bora Bora, and I looked down, and at some point, it was gone.
Wow. How did the wife take it?
She was actually a little less upset than I was, and I was in the Navy at the time. I had gotten the ring while on deployment in Bahrain and just lost it. But
that sucks.
The bright side, I am going on 12 years with the new ring.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
That's a good streak. Thank you for the call. Appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
By the way, is this, I don't know the answer to this question. Is it still the deal with some people that, because this used to be how they used to do it in the old days, people got married and they put on the ring and they vowed to never take it off. Does anyone do that anymore?
I don't think that's a thing.
Allie, do you know?
I would assume so. What do you take it off for?
Well, people take it off to wash their hands or, like you said, put lotion on or whatever, things like that.
Cheating.
Cooking sometimes. Cheating. Of course, it's cheating.
All right.
But, I mean, like, back in my grandparents' day, the thing was you never, ever took the ring off. Like, that was part of the commitment. You know what I mean?
So maybe they're just more ornate now, so people take it off because they don't want all lotion all gobbed in it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not lotion.
It's not lotion.
Let's try Andrew Pomona, line one, up next on the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I was given a wedding ring set, the engagement ring and the wedding band together from my mother.
Mm-hmm.
I proposed to my then-fiancé, and so I was hanging on to the actual wedding band until the wedding. Well, I lost it.
Oh. Did she know about the second half of it?
She did know that it existed. Mm. She knew that the band was handed down from my mother, and she did find out that I lost the wedding band.
And how did that go?
She just kind of chopped it up to, well, get me another band. And I guess, you know, in the end, in retrospect, we ended up separating anyway, so, yeah.
Yeah, that was a curse of the wedding ring, man. That's what it was.
He sounds really broken up.
So, hey, you know how it goes.
Yeah, whatevs. Hey.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate the call. Listen to this. Mike writes in from the 562. He texted, and this happened to me as well, and I'm surprised we didn't get more people who lost concert tickets.
Oh, sure.
I purchased Weezer tickets. I got home. I stashed them because the show was still 3 months away. Well, then the day before the concert, I started looking for them, and I could not find them. They finally turned up about a week after the concert. I had stashed them so good, not even I could find them. Oh. So he ended up not being able to go to that show because he lost the ticket.
That sucks so much.
All right, let's do one more, 1-800-520-1067. Let's take Christina Downey, please, line three.
All right. Hey, Christina.
Hey, party people.
Hi. Hey.
Hey, so I went to the car wash, went to get my car wash. My mom was like, go do that. And she just bought me a brand new PSP with a bunch of games.
Nice.
I was super excited. Come out of the car wash, it's gone. I'm like, wait, it was in the car. I stashed it so they wouldn't steal it, but couldn't find it.
Do you think they stole it?
I don't know. I've stashed it pretty good. They might have stolen it, but... I've been looking and looking in that same car for the past 10 years for it, and I still can't find it.
You are not good at looking, Christina.
I have bad news, Christina. Holy crap. It's not going to turn up.
I mean, don't you feel like you've searched enough for it?
No, 10 years. I have this feeling that it's there. It's got to be found.
But you looked there, right?
I did, but like...
Well, you keep doing what you're doing.
Let the woman believe, Kevin. Come on.
Keep doing what you're doing. It'll turn up.
I'll believe in that forever.
Okay. Thank you, Christina, for the call. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back to the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices next.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Really bad.
LANOC's alternative rock. K-R-O-Q.
During the song, I was out in the lobby. I was answering the business line, and a lot of people were calling going, isn't it Wednesday, you guys? What about the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices? Why haven't I heard that yet?
Don't you live in a place that's not here in the studio?
That's not what's important. The thing is, the kids love the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, and I think all of us in this room are on board with it, too, and are very excited about seeing where the wheel lands today. Am I right?
That is true, yes.
No.
We all love it?
No. Allie, am I right?
Absolutely right.
No.
It's always fun.
No.
So here are the stories that are on the wheel.
Regardless with that bad acting.
The 132-year-old lobster released into the ocean by a seafood restaurant after 20 years in captivity.
Can we have more details on that?
We need a shorter headline, don't we?
No, I thought it was good.
The baseball water dog.
What? Sorry, I need more information for that one.
The baseball water dog.
Yes.
Are you playing Mad Libs?
Maybe we need to add more words to that one. The killer whale gang terrorizing Alaska fishermen.
Oh.
The subway riding raccoon.
I love the subway riding raccoon. Have you guys seen that video?
I have not.
Of the lady who takes a raccoon on the subway with her and it's sitting in the chair next to her during their ride and eating little snacks? It's awesome.
Do you really need to delve into that story, by the way?
I would like to. I'd like to know.
Because that's
it's
it.
It's on
you
the wheel.
It. It's a raccoon who's riding a subway.
Hope it doesn't land on that.
Snacks. Done. Finished. Take it off the wheel.
The gorilla giving a TED talk.
Oh, no. I would be interested to hear what the gorilla had to say.
And the CIA cat spying on Russia.
Okay.
So fun is everybody ready? Let's do it.
No.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Come on, subway riding raccoon. What are you pulling for here, Allie? What are you hoping for?
I want the gorilla with the TED Talk.
TED Talk. I like that, too.
And it's a CIA cat spying on Russia.
Yay!
This story's been on the wheel for quite some time.
Yeah.
All right. WikiLeaks is a thing that you know. In fact, they're saying a lot of this these techniques that they're using for these terrible computer hacking, like the one that happened yesterday all around the world, came out of the WikiLeaks about the CIA. It was techniques that they had developed. Well, something else in that CIA paperwork that has surprised a lot of people is a program that they had going on for numerous years in the 1960s, where they decided that they were going to use cats as spies. They were basically going to turn them into electronic listening devices by putting microphones under their skin and then what? Airlifting them into Russia? I mean,
drop them from a plane? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out is how do they get the cats into Russia? But they really did have a plan where they'd use the tail as an antenna and then have a wire traveling up the spine and then put a microphone in the ear and then a battery in its chest and your cat was going to be a listening device, was going to be a bug.
On its first test, its CIA handlers were watched in horror as their robo-kitty was run over by a car. Seconds after doing all that work and putting all those electronics into the cat.
Well, that's terrible. That's sad. But I wish I didn't know that.
In retrospect, funny.
No, it's not funny. But what's it?
Now that it's so long ago, it's humorous.
What a weird program to be trying to turn cats into bugs. So we thought we asked Dave, is there any way we get somebody on from the CIA? Now that this information is out there and is declassified, who can we get from the CIA to talk about this? I think we have somebody in this program on the line with us right now. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're working with the CIA, sir?
Well, I guess you could say that, yes.
What do you mean?
I do work in the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not at liberty to say which Secret Service that is, however.
Nice. Okay.
Well,
are you a cat?
I'm not at liberty to say at this moment. You can call me Meow. James Meow.
Okay. So what could you tell us then about the CIA program where cats are being used as listening devices?
It's true that there are secret agent cats in the field.
Okay, still to this day?
Trying to take down evildoers.
Okay.
Really?
Oh.
We have a program here.
Mm-hmm.
The Double-Aught program.
Right.
Okay.
Where we go in and we collect secrets from our enemies by keeping tabbies on them.
Good you did there. I like it. So this is still, even here in the 21st century, we're still using cats as bugs?
Yes, very much so.
Wow.
In fact, the world is littered with cat secret agents.
Right. Uh-huh.
Litter, right?
Uh-huh. Kitty littered.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, we got it. Yeah. No,
do they get dropped from a plane over Russia like Bean was suggesting?
You are an incredible dumbass.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how you get the cats into the country that you're trying to spy on.
They are taken there.
Okay.
And released.
I see.
Not from a plane.
All right.
But just from a carrier.
Okay.
That makes more sense.
So they just let you come into Russia with a whole bunch of cats? Is that at all suspicious?
We're undercover as pets.
Oh, I see. Okay. So
we
this
come
just
in with legitimate businessmen, in quotes, and then somehow we get loose and get lost once we enter Moscow.
Okay, interesting.
That's how the spy business works. We don't drop cats from planes, asshole. We do it very surreptitiously.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's a cat and mouse game always with these people.
Right.
Understood, yeah.
It's for your eyes only.
Oh, wow. Really?
As we claw our way into their good graces.
I see. No. Okay.
The only way we knew how to lick the Russians.
Okay. Come on, cat.
As well as our private.
That's James, by the way.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yes, not cat.
My bad.
I'll call you woman, do I?
You do not.
It's an exciting but dangerous life being a spy cat.
Uh-huh. I bet, yeah.
The upside is the ladies, however.
Oh.
You can get pussy galore.
If something's lame and it ain't that good, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock, LANOC's alternative rock.
Hey, this movie, The House, is one of the most anticipated of the summer. Kevin, how long have we been looking forward to this thing?
Forever, since the very first time I saw a trailer.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler, Jeremy Renner, Nick Kroll, Alison Tolman. Who am I forgetting? Is there so many else?
No, I think you got them all.
Here's a little bit of the trailer from The House.
I have a way for you guys to make 4 years tuition in 1 month. Underground Casino.
Your mother and I will be working late every night.
I just can't help but feel like you're lying.
We love you so much. We're so proud of you. But you need to shut up.
Guys, we got a problem.
Cheating. We got to send a message.
What are you guys going to do about it anyway?
I'm going to do this.
No, I'm going to do this.
Hey, hey, hey.
Don't play around with... Come on! Oh!
Tell your friends if they mess with that, this is what they're going to get.
The genius who comes up with the idea to turn the house into a casino is our new friend, Jason Mantzoukas from The House, who joins us in studio on K-Rock. Hey, Jason.
How's it going, everybody?
Doing well.
So great to meet you. I can't believe with all of the things that you've been in that we've loved for all these years that you've never been on the show before.
I know. I'm shocked.
This is...
How dare you? I blame you guys.
How dare you? I do feel like it is our fault a little bit.
Because, and I will say this because a lot of your listeners might not know that, but I stand outside your studio every morning.
Is that you?
I thought you were homeless. I beg you guys to have me on the... A lot of people do. A lot of people think I'm homeless.
$720 on different occasions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, welcome. We're sorry that we haven't had you before.
Yeah, it's good to finally have you.
I'm thrilled
to be here. Look, you've had a lot. I mean, you've been a working actor for a long time. You've been on so many phenomenal projects. But this one just looks to me like a dream come true.
Oh, yeah. Well, I will say it's not that often that like a big studio hires you and all of your friends to be in an enormous comedy movie. And you get to just like show up and do bits all day, every day with each other. It was a blast. Yeah.
And you, you've known Will and you've known Amy forever, right?
Yeah, I've known Amy. I've known Amy for a very long time. Amy started along with some other folks a theater in New York called the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, which is like a, you know, kind of like a Second City or a Groundlings type of theater in New York. And I came up in that scene. So I've been doing shows with Amy for 16, 17 years. And then Will I've known for a couple of years as well. So, yeah. And then everybody else, Lennon, Kroll, everybody, Hubel. Yeah. Great, great group.
Basically, they just said, Jason, just everybody that you know, let's get him in this movie.
Yep. They were like, who do you want? Let's do it. Let's go down the list.
How much of it was improvising and just feeding off each other?
Quite a bit. I think they purposefully hired people both who'd worked together and had that as a background.
Awesome.
You know, and so they, you know, the director, they would do a couple of takes like the script and then they'd be like, okay, let's open it up. Let's see what happens. Let's see what we find. And like, even like the bit you just played where I'm kind of almost vomiting.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just an improv bit. You know, like that's just like, you know, we did a whole bunch of takes, different things. And I was like, oh, let me do this, you know, and try and kind of pitched what I would do. And then we did that.
Let me try the almost vomit move.
Yeah, let me try. Yes, let me try trying to make myself throw up.
When you, I'm so fascinated with that whole improv scene, the Citizens Brigade and everything. And I'm just wondering how much of it is like in the Birbiglia movie from last year, where everybody's rooting for everybody, but not to get too big. You know what I mean?
It's funny. Yeah, that movie definitely has a lot of truth in it because it is, I will say, a very wildly supportive community. It's not very. Even though it's competitive, like everybody wants to succeed, everybody's ambitious and all that stuff, there's still like baked into like the bedrock of improv is the idea of support. Like I make you look good, you make me look good on stage. And there's a little bit of trust and that kind of stuff. So it is a scene that is ultimately supportive. But absolutely. That moment when like when someone gets SNL or when someone, you know, would get like The Daily Show or whatever, everybody would be like, oh, my God, did you? Oh, my God. It would cause everybody else to like kind of spiral out for
and then
a while.
And then you block all of their phone numbers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can't be reached.
And, you know, like West tell them what Story? You really think of them.
What? With like the Groundlings.
Are Is you it guys, like West
yeah,
Side
like
Story?
Upright Citizens Brigade
like
versus
like gangs?
The Groundlings. Yeah. Like you throw down.
You know what? Yes.
I thought so.
Yep. We do. It's in that it's like gang warfare.
Right.
Uh-huh. Heavily choreographed with singing.
Right. Oh, my God.
So it is exactly what's
I love that.
Story.
Thank you.
Did you feel, Jason, that you had any read on who was likely to make it and who wasn't? Like, I'm sure you're not surprised to see the success of Amy Poehler. It seems to me like that was evident from the very beginning.
I saw her do a show, like, at a gross, before UCB ever had its own theater, they would do shows out of kind of rental theaters or kind of weird spaces that they would just do it. Put
it's
up
like
a show
closet
in.
Or a shed,
yeah,
or something.
Really, yeah, yeah, like somebody's backyard shed. I saw them do a show once in a gardening shed. It was pretty terrific. No. But the first time I saw her do a show, it really was like, I don't even know what's happening. I don't even know who else is on stage. Like, Amy Poehler was so compelling and so interesting and crazy, crazy funny. I feel like
Amy, yeah, and Will both, by the way, one of the things that's always impressed me is how committed they are to their characters, too. Like, I don't know very many people who could have played Elf, Buddy the Elf,
for instance.
You know what I mean? Because Will Ferrell is in 100% on that character.
Oh, no.
He's and that's, fearless.
And that kind of, like, unbridled, innocent joy is, like, such a good sweet spot for him to be in. Like, that kind of radical enthusiasm with no, with almost no intellect to back it up is a great character.
Men.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those are the best.
Enthusiastic dummies? Come on.
I won't ask you to name names, but have there been people you've come across from those early days who made it and made it big that you were stunned by?
No, not really. Not stunned by. I'm trying to think if there is any. No, not really. I feel like it really has. I mean, it's taken, because we all started doing comedy together in the late 90s. So it's taken all of this time to kind of, for everybody to go through the machinations of their careers and figure out where they're going to land and where they are. So no, there are people in all facets now of the business, writers, directors, actors, all of it, producers, who come out of this scene, and they're all wildly talented in their own ways. I don't know. It's interesting.
You've had, you've worked so many, I mean, people would be stunned, Jason, if they went to your IMDb and
stunned.
Saw the, you have
they
like,
would be stunned.
But you have like 70 things on it or something from
the
last 20
it's
years.
It's really weird.
Some of them look made up.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Yeah, like Traffic Light. Traffic Light wasn't a series. I'm telling you right now, Jason.
You know, that's one that you if you said that, I'd be like, oh, what was? Oh, now I remember what that was. Yeah.
Is there a
one
moment?
One of the many carnival workers that I've played.
Is there a moment in this career where you made it, where you feel like you made it?
I think, like, specifically as an actor, kind of the transformational moment for me is getting the TV show The League.
Right.
You know, like, up until then, I had a successful career as a writer primarily, and then I would get acting jobs very infrequently.
Mm-hmm.
Here
and
there.
That's interesting. Yeah. Because now you're primarily known as an actor.
Yeah. And that, the tipping point for that really was The League. You know, The League, I feel like, was A, just a fantastic role, and then B, kind of had a following and was a big show, and lots of people saw it. And
it was on every week, and it was on for years.
Yeah, and as a result, I feel like a lot of jobs I got in those years after were based on the fact that people had seen me on The League. So that was the real big moment.
Was that a transformation in your attitude as well toward I'd like to act more?
No.
And write less? No?
No, it really was. Well, I will say, like, I took that job because, A, it was an improvised show, which was, like, my skill set. And B, they kind of were like, the plot of the character is this. What's the version of the character you want to do? And
That's cool.
Yeah. And so I really was able to kind of craft the kind of unhinged maniac kind of part of it.
Right.
Because they were like...
You own the unhinged maniac.
Oh, yeah. Originally, when they pitched it to me, that character's name was Sheldon or something like that. It was like not at all this kind of wild character. They just had a plot line for him.
I don't see you as a Sheldon.
I don't either. And I was like, they were like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I feel like your ensemble is lacking in a lunatic. I'd like to be a lunatic, you know, like Charming Maniac is kind of my sweet spot, so I'll do that.
Jason, so the best lunatic on TV in the last 3 years has been Adrian Pimento on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
I know you're a comedic actor, and I get that it's a sitcom, but I feel like you're going to kill someone when I watch Adrian Pimento on that show. You look like you are capable of it.
And the fact that you believe that on like a primetime network sitcom,
right,
that like in the middle of a silly kind of comedy show where like Andy might do something silly and goofy, then I might kill someone is pretty terrific. terrific.
Yeah, it's
that's
good.
To me right. like my favorite part of the my favorite episode of the league is the one that Seth Rogen and I did where the cold open is just Yorma Taccone getting shot in the head, and then the credits roll and people were like, "What is happening?"
That's the voice of actor Jason Mantzoukas. We got to take a quick break. By the way, the House movie, which looks awesome, is in theaters everywhere this Friday. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
A grotesque monstrosity.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Born of relentless inbreeding. Chronically flatulent.
K-Rock.
Actor Jason Mantzoukas in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His latest project is called The House, opening up everywhere on Friday with the great Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler and Nick Kroll and Rob Hubel and all the rest. Looks very, very funny. First time director, Jason?
Yeah. First time director, Andrew Cohen.
How was that for you?
It was good. He's another one of the, again, it goes back to he, I've also known him and his writing partner, Brendan O'Brien. They wrote the movie together. Also known them for years. They wrote Neighbors. They wrote Neighbors 2, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. They're like, they came up in, like, under Judd and then worked with Seth and Evan, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg a lot. So, like, I've crossed paths with them quite a bit. So, in terms of, like, trusting him, I wasn't too worried. But it really, I felt like, was he up to the challenge of having 12 comedians on set?
Right, exactly.
Giving them license to improvise and then trying
to... wrangling cats is what he was doing.
It really was difficult, I suspect, for him.
At any point did he say, you know what, honestly, I'm not sure what to do here?
I'm sure
because
he
that's
did.
That's just
it.
Us, Kevin.
I'm sure at some point he did, you know. Every day we were finding crazy funny stuff to do and put into the movie, and he was like... He was the person who was like front and center laughing the hardest. So that was great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's cool. Speaking of writing, you mentioned earlier that you had been doing a lot of writing, and of course you wrote for Children's Hospital. You wrote some episodes of The League.
Sure.
I was amazed to find out that you wrote or co-wrote Ride Along, the Cube movie. Right.
I did. Yeah, I wrote. That was a job I did. I got. There was a script that already existed for that movie that was slightly different than what it ended up being, and they wanted to do something in like as a cop movie, and I basically it had been written as like a PG more family movie,
right?
And so I wrote a version of it that was like that was kind of Lethal Weapon, and they wanted it for Cube and Andy Samberg, and so at the time I wrote that version of the movie, and it kind of went through all of its kind of life and then kind of died, and then a little while after that it came back to life as the movie that it is. And so
and that was with Cube and who?
Kevin Hart.
Okay.
The best.
That's right.
It was rewritten for Kev. Yep.
I guess I bring that up to ask, so are you and Cube like pals now?
Never met him.
Never met him.
I thought you would be like totally like in the posse now.
Never met him. Lovely guy. His notes were all very smart and fun and interesting. But I only ever dealt with his kind of production guy.
Oh,
the
that's
guy who ran his company.
Because I was thinking how awesome it would be to have Cube in your back pocket.
Can you imagine
if you ever need a tough guy to call on?
There'd be like paparazzi pictures of like, you know, Cube and me leaving like Norms or something.
Right.
Norms.
That would be living a dream life.
I like it.
We're just hanging at the diner.
All right. Before you go, we've got to put in a plug for How Does This Get Made. How many episodes have you done now of your podcast?
Oh, we're coming up on 200, I think.
200?
That's crazy. Yeah, something like that. It's been... And it's also like we've been doing it for it's shocking to me. We've been doing this for years. It's shocking to me how big podcasts have become, how much reach they have. It's really bizarre.
And for folks who don't know the concept of it, it's basically you're breaking down a movie with every episode.
Yeah,
right?
It's basically like that conversation at the bar you have with your friends after you've just walked out of a bad movie. You know?
But what's fascinating to me, and I've heard a number of episodes, what's fascinating to me is that it doesn't mean you didn't like the movie. Right?
Quite often it means
we loved it. Like the last Fast and the Furious movie, you guys, all of you were raving about
loved it. Loved it. As did, and we loved Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage.
You didn't love that, though.
It was so good. It was so good. Can't we all agree a movie is great if you can drive a motorcycle underwater? Yeah. I mean, what are we talking about here?
I guess so.
What is your criteria for what a movie gets under? Because I would have assumed a lot of people assume by the title that you think it's automatically bad if
you
write that.
I mean, it definitely has that so bad it's good vibe. But like for us, it varies. Like there are the fast and Furious movies or the Crank movies, which we love,
right,
that are just bananas, you know, that are just totally bonkers, and it's fun to watch them. Face Off, Con Air, all these kind of movies. But then there are the movies that are like, what's happening right now? I don't even understand. And those are movies like The Room. Like,
Leprechaun in the Hood.
Exactly. Leprechaun in the Hood. All those movies that are just like, oh, this is terrible.
Right.
And like on a fundamental story level, this is ill-conceived and should never have happened. Those are the movies that I also love.
We had this conversation about the worst movies that you love, and part of that has to be that they're serious. They're serious about really nailing it.
Oh, earnest.
And that they're taking themselves seriously,
right,
you know?
And that's the disaster.
Oh, it's the best. That's the best.
Are you hoping for a great moment in the future where a movie you've been in rises to the level of being offered
so
for
bad
How Did This
good?
Get Made?
So yeah,
wouldn't that be amazing?
It'd be amazing.
Yeah, like an inception moment for you to be commenting.
I suspect people are right now screaming at their radios, oh, he's been in plenty.
Well, the podcast is great, by the way. It's available on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. It's hosted with June Diane Raphael, who, Ali, I know you're a big fan of. And
obsessed.
The great Paul Scheer, our friend Paul. Also, How Did This Get Made, it's called. And the film is called The House. It's in theaters everywhere this Friday. It looks hilarious. Perfect 4th of July weekend entertainment. Jason, I'm so glad we finally got a chance to meet you, man.
Guys, thank you so much for having me. This was
See
terrific.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
They're all losers. I hate these guys.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
Are we now generating a moment with for every minute we're on the air?
I mean, I hope not, but yes.
Is that the way it's going lately? Raph, do we have time to revisit the latest?
Sure. Two in a row.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Don't make that's the secret to the success of that show.
Well said.
Kept with it though. I felt like I
you did.
Felt like you went down swinging, champ. Good for you.
That was a moment with Kevin.
We used to do the top 10 moments with for the year. I think we may have to start doing them of the week. So about 1 minute after that, then I decided to step in and save the segment.
And now a moment with Bean.
So. I mean, I think that's going to, I mean, we're all thinking the same thing, but I mean, that is just really going to take all the fun out of it.
Yeah, we're all thinking
you guys,
that.
What's happening right now?
That was a moment with Bean.
Literally within a minute. It's unreal.
It's like putting on a puppet show in a mental ward. That's what this show has become. So you just hand the puppets out to the patients, and they get behind the stage, and they go.
Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must cleanse us.
That's right.
Ralph, why aren't you involved in more moments with?
I don't know. Still care?
Because he's able to.
This isn't that we don't care.
He's not trying to have a career. He's able to carve out a place for myself.
He's able to speak the English language.
I feel like we're trying, Ralph. It's not that we're giving up. That's how I feel, all right. All right, let's see what's going on in showbiz. I'm just depressed now.
Lindsay Lohan is back. Look, if Lindsay Lohan could still be in this business, you guys certainly can.
Right?
Right? She has announced her brand new lifestyle website. She's taken a page out of the Gwyneth Paltrow book, and she is going to show everyone her favorite beauty tutorials, fashion tips, shopping guides. Plus, you get all the behind-the-scenes content you could ever want. Her personal diaries, her video updates, her exclusive personal photos. Come on, it's everything you wanted from Lindsay Lohan and less.
Have we been looking for this?
For just $2.99, you too can get the beauty secrets of a 30-year-old who looks like she's pushing 50. You too can find out where to get the best Coke in Bahrain. Yeah. Another important tip.
I feel like people might have been interested in this 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
I don't
Something like that.
Know that anyone was ever that interested in this.
She was a big star at one point.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time.
But even Gwyneth Paltrow had the wherewithal to not make it all about her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She
yeah.
created a fantasy brand and sort of coerced women into thinking that they needed any of this stuff. It's kind of
right.
a great con on her part. But she didn't say, oh, take a look at me and my pictures of me in my backyard pulling weeds. You know, she said, no, you need this jade egg in your hoo-ha for $400, please. Thank you. Cha-ching. So I don't know what's going to happen there. We'll have to wait and see. Talking about flashbacks, the Brooke Shields Calvin Klein denim collection has finally landed in stores. Brooke Shields used to be in commercials for Calvin Klein in the freaking 80s.
Yeah, she was a teenager.
Well, there is new Calvin Klein jeans available in stores today that feature designs similar to those worn by Brooke Shields in the 80s and includes a white patch on the back of the waist that features a silhouette of Brooke Shields in her signature pose. I'm not sure what that pose is.
What is that pose?
I don't know. But nothing got between her and her Calvins. Remember,
that was
the big slug line. That's what she said, yeah. And everybody was up in their arms because she was like 8 or something. Like, why are you talking all sexy, 8-year-old? It made people upset. Well, it's back.
All right.
And while we're talking about inappropriate things, Bill Cosby has said that his town hall meetings, his series of town hall meetings where he'd go around and tell people how not to get busted for sexual assault, Cosby released a statement yesterday saying it was all fake news. That announcement was all fake news.
It didn't come from his spokesperson.
Yeah, person.
How dare you cloud this issue with facts?
It was his person.
He rejects the current propaganda that I'm going to conduct a sexual assault tour. That is false. He said, after his spokesperson said, I will be following Mr. Cosby around, talking to hundreds of civic organizations and churches who have requested for Mr. Cosby to speak to young men and women about the judicial system.
Huh.
So we don't know what to believe now. We'll have to wait and see. But fake news. Fake news. Just like the Time magazine cover featuring Donald Trump. Have you seen this story out of the Washington Post?
Bean was just telling me about it.
It's remarkable.
Unreal.
It's hard to imagine.
They dummied it up for...
The Washington Post has discovered that at many of the Donald Trump golf properties around these United States and abroad, there's many walls dedicated to Donald.
Right.
Including many of the magazine covers featuring him. One is a Time magazine cover.
Okay.
But upon closer inspection, all of the stories on the cover of that magazine, they realized were stories that were actually used on a different Time magazine with Kate Winslet on the cover. And they went back and looked, and that cover never existed. It was completely faked, manufactured, and then hung on the walls of these golf clubs.
Why does he need to do that?
No, Kevin, we know.
I mean,
why.
He's been on the cover of Time magazine numerous times, including a couple of times before he ran for president. So why fake a different week when you weren't on the cover?
Because I need more covers, okay? I have the best covers. I need more of them.
I mean, the cover story made it look like it was Time magazine praising the success of his Celebrity Apprentice, and they never did a cover story on that, nor would they on a TV show. But maybe that's what it was for, is just he wanted to use it for publicity for the show. Just, it's weird, you guys.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
A really smart guy. I think it's real.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
As is my GQ Man of the Year cover that I put it on my Twitter feed if you want to see me. When GQ, you may remember when GQ celebrated me as one of the men
of the
year.
I don't remember. What year was that?
Who said?
What?
I didn't catch it. I'm sorry.
My throat. I got a sunflower seed.
I think that the president has done a great disservice in popularizing the use of the term fake news to discount anything you just don't want to believe. Now that's the go-to for people. If they don't like it,
right?
If somebody publishes something and it's contrary to what
they
wish
were
true,
they can make it not true just by putting that label on it.
Yep. Yeah,
and there's a certain percentage of people who say, "Oh, well, okay then."
Must be fake news.
Chip just showed me the picture of Ralph. It's really great. That's a good cover.
I want to thank GQ for keeping
that's
me.
A really good cover.
Putting me on their list. At Ralph Garman on Twitter, if you want to see it. I think that was. I think it's when I was hanging out with Clooney in Lake Como. I think it's Amalfi Coast where we took that photo.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Director Mel Brooks is 91 years old today. Kathy Bates is 69. John Cusack, 51 years old today. Elon Musk celebrates his 47th birthday. Elon Musk, Kevin, you know him, of course, as the...
Creator of the Silly String.
Oh, man.
Yes. Correct.
Elon Musk is actually the head of Tesla. Tesla Motors, Kevin. He's the guy who actually invented the Tesla, the electric
car. That's not what I heard.
It is. That's what happened. It wasn't that guy Tesla. It was, in fact, this guy, Elon Musk.
That's not what I heard.
He actually put it all together.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who, of course, came up with the Tesla automobile, and Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
And unchallenged.
Right.
Where was Bean?
We were laughing, I think.
No.
Yeah, I don't know where Bean was on this occasion.
I mean,
I may not even have been on.
He may have been passed out. He may have stood up for a moment.
Right?
Could have been.
He could have been face down in some chocolate milk. We don't know. We never know.
I think I might have been on vacation because it sounds like Kevin is doing a Battles of Rap video in the Internet Roundup or something. So.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm. Yes. Mm. I do good work. That's what we're saying.
Yes.
Tesla.
Right. Let's play more Moments with.
I mean, we don't need to.
Let's do the other ones again.
Our
last
new ones?
Hour,
those
yeah.
Tuned
yeah.
in late? You want to hear what happened an hour ago?
Yes.
All right, so first.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
So make that's the secret to the success of that show.
Well said.
Kept with it, though. I felt like
you did.
You did. Felt like you went down swinging, champ. Good for you.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Not to be outdone by my man Bean.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
So. I mean, I think that's going to, I mean, we're all thinking the same thing, but I mean, that is just really going to take all the fun out of it.
What?
Yeah, we're all thinking
guys,
that.
What's happening right now?
That was A Moment with Bean.
Glad you guys think it's funny. Glad you think it's funny.
I mean, honestly.
I guess it's funnier for those who are undergoing the transformation than those of us who have to witness it, I guess, really.
I kind of like it.
Really?
Yeah.
I just think it's kind of sad.
Did you hear it?
Nope. No, sir.
Really?
No, sir.
It's I feel like
Wednesday. Nope. No, sir.
I think it's kind of sad.
In a way, yes.
Right?
I can see how you
would
think
about
it.
You hear it out like lighting the Olympic torch. Right. Kind of sad,
and just
right?
Just shaking.
At
and
one
it was
time,
just sad.
These guys were good at what they did.
The
right?
best no, in the world.
That's the
best
mistake.
In the
Hall
world.
Hall of Fame.
Best in the world.
And now you see him lighting the torch.
Yeah. It is sad.
Right?
Yeah. You've turned me around.
All right, good. They can't hear us, can they?
No.
We can hear you well.
Felicia Day is 38 years old today, and singer Kelly Pickler, star of Pickle. I hardly even know her.
Stupid.
I don't think that's it.
Oh, she's 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, a huge... What? Did I say something wrong?
No, you were good.
Tomorrow morning, a huge show. We have Tom Arnold, we have Jim Rome, we have Dr. Drew, and we have Andy Samberg as well. So we'll see you then.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
That's dumb.
You're dumb.
Your face is dumb.
LA and OC's alternative rock.
K-Rock.